Let's look at the Lord's word together and read it. It says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits and see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how we recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from a viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is true and alive. We thank you that your word is relevant to us this morning. We thank you that you've equipped David to speak out of your word to us this morning. We pray that as you do that, you will continue to fill him with your Holy Spirit, and that you will prepare our hearts and our minds to receive all that it is you have to say for us. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Chris. Well, I wonder, have you ever been tricked? Have you ever been deceived? It's not a great feeling, is it? I noticed on the front page of the newspaper about a week ago this article, and it was about how people had been buying really cheap holiday insurance and discovered after they'd bought it, when something happened on their holiday, that basically the insurance was worthless. It didn't actually cover anything, and it wasn't really worth really much at all. It was pretty much useless, and they felt, tons of them, like they'd been conned. And I was thinking, well, they only paid sort of small amount for their travel insurance. How on earth is this the front page of the newspaper? But if you've been conned, you know that it feels rubbish. And that's why it's on the front page of the newspaper. It's because in one way or another, we've maybe all related to that. And probably thousands or hundreds of thousands have felt this. And I was thinking about the secondhand cars. Anyone bought a secondhand car? Yeah. I buy secondhand cars, and you're kind of a bit sensitive, and you kind of go, okay, what's going to happen? Am I going to get a good one, or is it going to be absolutely one of those ones where, you know, someone's trying to sell it just because it's really broken, and you don't know until you get it? And that horrible feeling you get if you've been tricked, lied to. We had a little break. Oh, it was quite a few years now, but we can still remember it because it was one of those little special holiday deals that Laura and I were able to go away for one evening and away from the kids. And the deal was also that you got a meal at this restaurant in the hotel, all included in this special deal. Usually it would be 80 quid for this meal, but you could kind of spend up to 80 quid on this restaurant. And we're thinking, man, for 80 quid, you could just buy so much food. So we didn't eat that day. We go to this restaurant, pretty dead atmosphere, to be honest. And then we discover that it's not kind of choose what you like on the menu. It's set menu. 40 quid a piece. And the portions come, and they're tiny. And we can't even enjoy this kind of special meal because of that sense of being conned. Now that is so small, isn't it? Such a silly thing. But what if you've been lied to by a friend? Maybe you have. What if you've been tricked or betrayed by someone you really trusted? It can seem at the time, isn't it, a bit like when you get the voucher for the, you know, the holiday deal, or you get the secondhand car, you can think, I got a great deal. Maybe even when your friend tells you the lie, you think, oh, you're kind of relieved. But yet when you discover the truth, it's just rubbish. And we're in this series looking at joyful living. And I want to say, folks, that actually the truth is always better than lies for joyful living. The truth is always what we most need. And I think about the issues we're facing as a country at the moment with the referendum. And I just hear from both sides. I hear both sides pointing about the lies that either side is saying. I talked some last week, and please do listen online, about just some of the danger of the fear that both sides can sometimes try and generate. And I want to just say this morning, I really believe that there isn't a... Well, my sense is there's not a one side that Christians must vote in this referendum. I've had godly, wonderful Christians who I respect say they're voting this way and here's why, and I'm thinking that's a good reason. And I've had godly, wonderful Christians I respect saying I'm voting this way and here's why, and that's the reason. But I'm also hearing a whole lot of rubbish from both sides. And so I want to ask the question, how do you and I discern what is true? How do you and I discern what God is saying? Because that is what 1 John is all about. And as I come just this morning, I'm praying, Lord, please, may Holland Roaders not get tricked. That's my heart, my longing. I think that was John's longing as he was coming with this passage to the church at his time. He was longing that the people he loved, his dear children as he often refers to them, or dear friends, his brothers and sisters, that they wouldn't get tricked, they wouldn't get led astray. That they would actually live joyful lives because they know what is true and they stick to the truth. And so folks, in a world of lies, and there are tons of lies out there, how are we going to discern what God is saying? And also, how in a world where there's tons of lies, are we going to be those who can really live lives that overcome? Because I don't know about you, but if you feel defeated, if you feel like everything else is kind of, getting on top of you and winning, then actually it's very hard to be joyful. But when you feel like you're overcoming, then boy, joy rises. And again, as we look at this joyful sort of living series, I want to ask those two questions. How do we tell if something is from God, and how to overcome the evil one? And I think this passage is going to help us with both. So you ready for it? Should we dive in? So first, 1 John chapter 1 verse, chapter 4 verse 1. And this is how it starts. It says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Don't believe everything you hear. This is how the Message translation puts verse 1. It's a bit more kind of contemporary language. It says, my dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. And at the end of the previous chapter, if you were here last week, you'll know that John has been encouraging his readers, encouraging us, even commanding us. Verse 23 of chapter 3 says this, and this is the command, to believe in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We're called to believe, to be believers. But here's the thing, the call to believe is not a call to believe anything, but to believe some specific things that mean there are other things that because we believe those things, we don't believe those things. And that's where we need discernment. And why do we need discernment? Well, because he goes on at the end of verse 1 and says this, you see, test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And in fact, in verse 3, at the end of verse 3, it says, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is now already in the world. We sometimes have this picture, as Tim was saying a few weeks ago when we were looking at chapter 2, of the Antichrist being like this thing from a horror film or something like that, that's just a kind of end times thing, and there's no Antichrist at work now. But actually, when you read 1 John, you see, you know, those Antichrists are already at work. They're like the false prophets. Really, he's linking the two. The spirit of the Antichrist is at work in the false prophets, in those who are teaching, even pretending to be Christians. But actually, the word Antichrist just simply means this. They're against Christ. There are some people who might wear the badge of Christ. They might call themselves Christians. They might even call themselves Christian teachers. But actually, they're just wanting to build their own kingdom. And if you're building your own kingdom, you're not building the kingdom of Christ. And so, John is saying we need to be discerning. That's why I encourage you, even things you hear here, I want you to have your Bibles open so you can be discerning. As you go and look at things on the internet, or you read things in newspapers, or even things that are kind of in Christian magazines or things like that, I want you to be discerning. Because not everything that just has the label, you see, is actually the real thing. The Message translation ends 1 John 4 verse 1 by just saying there are a lot of lying preachers loose in the world. That's humbling as a preacher, I have to say. One of the verses that I find quite sobering is where it says those who teach are going to be judged more severely. So pray for us. Pray for those who speak the word of God in the morning and the evening. Pray for those who are preaching across the nation, that we might get into God's word, and encourage you to do that carefully. I loved science at school. And as I think about this whole thing about testing things, my mind instantly goes to kind of physics lessons and chemistry lessons. And do you remember litmus tests in chemistry lessons? I don't know if you were into your chemistry at school, but I used to love the kind of, is it alkaline or acid? And you'd have to dip this piece of paper in and to see if it turned kind of pink for the acid, or kind of a dark purple for the alkaline. And there was even this cool universal indicator. I can almost kind of smell the chemistry lab where you'd, this is a bit geeky, isn't it? I know that. That's all right. And you'd kind of get the universal indicator. It'd be a kind of orangey color, and you'd drop it in, and you'd see where is it going to go, and you'd see, okay, is it going to move and turn really red, and you kind of know, okay, that's like really acid, or is it going to turn purple, and that would be like your kind of ammonia, your more alkaline stuff. And basically you were testing, what is this? And the Apostle John is giving us some tests, folks. Great tests. Great test to discern how to tell something is from God. And he's already given us some tests in this book. And he's going to actually come back to this test again later, even next week in the passage we're looking at next week. He's given us the fruit test. You want to know what the fruit test is? It's very simple. Does it look like the fruit of God in their lives? Do their lives look like the God of love, and therefore like they've got the spirit of love? So he's been talking loads, hasn't he, if you've been in this series, about how is their love for others? And we're going to pick up more on that next week. So the fruit test. What's the first test? Just checking you're awake. Turn to someone and say, use the fruit test. Turn to someone. Use the fruit test. Okay, there we go. Enough on that one. We'll come to that another time. Really important test. Is it kind of looking like love? Has it got that heart of love? Okay, next one. This is in verse 2 here. Let's read it together and then we'll just say what it is. Verse 2 of chapter 4. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Are you ready? Second test. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. That is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is coming into the world. This is the belief test. And you know, don't you, that what people believe spills out of their mouths and out of their lives. And John's saying it matters what people believe. It matters what people believe. And you can tell what they believe, particularly about Jesus. That is what matters most about what people believe. And you can tell whether they're from God or not when you look at what are they saying about Jesus. And in John's situation, people are saying all kinds of things about Jesus. People are saying, well, Jesus is great. He just, was a very, very special person. And he just wasn't fully man. And look what, he writes, he says this, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ, the Christ, the anointed Messiah, the one who was always going to come, has come in the flesh, is from God. Anyone who recognizes that Jesus is both fully God and fully man, that's the Spirit of God. In fact, Paul writes in one of his letters in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. Now, that's obviously not just saying it, but it's actually saying it because it comes from belief. This is an amazing statement we have at the front of our church here. Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now, why does that matter? Because if Jesus is Lord, you orientate your whole life and world around that. If you believe Jesus is Lord, that he died and rose again, that he is the way that we can know God, then that changes everything. Because actually, Jesus says that he is the only way. He's the only way that you and I can be right before God. And so believing this is not just massive in our own lives, but it's actually vital to look for in the lives of others. What do they believe about Jesus? What are they saying about Jesus? Many of you, I'm sure, have realized, you can't really have missed it, that it's the Queen's birthday this year. You clocked that, didn't you? And this is kind of her official birthday weekend. I know it was a while back, but if you've hung around this church for a while, you know I quite like the Queen. I remember one Christmas doing a message on a Christmas morning service here. And, you know, sometimes you don't feel like you've necessarily explained the kind of good news about Jesus and what he's done as clearly as you'd like. And I remember going and listening to the Queen's talk, her Christmas Day broadcast that year, and thinking, that's what I was trying to say. And she even led people in a prayer to say, hey, invite Jesus into your heart. You want to know what the Queen believes? Like even here in 1 John 4 where it says, anyone who acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is what she said on the millennium celebration. That 2000 Christmas. She said this. Today, we are celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ was born 2000 years ago. This is the true millennium anniversary. The simple facts of Jesus' life give us a clue as to the influence he was to have in the world. As a boy, he learned his father's trade. As a carpenter, he then became a preacher, recruiting 12 supporters to help him, but his ministry only lasted a few years, and he himself never wrote anything down. In his early 30s, he was arrested, tortured, and crucified with 2 criminals. His death might have been the end of the story, but then came the resurrection, and with that, the foundation of the Christian faith. Go Queen. What's she saying about Jesus? The belief test. What are you saying about Jesus? You know, when you're in public, when it's not that popular at work to be saying things like that, what are you saying about Jesus? What do you really believe about Jesus? What we believe about Jesus is so important. That's why the Apostle John is saying, guys, be attentive to what you're listening to and test it, work it out. See, is this coming from God? Because God points to the way we can know God more than anything else, and that's to Jesus, God come in the flesh. The belief test. But then there's a last test here. Verse 5 and 6 kind of bring this out a bit more. And it's a slightly different kind of test. It's odd the way he talks about it. I've just lost 1 John here, so you're going to have to help me here. Just turn with me to 1 John 4, verse 5. Says this, they are from the world. This is talking about those who've had that spirit of the Antichrist, the false prophets. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. Isn't that interesting? They kind of speak from that viewpoint, and the world listens to them. But we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. It's almost like, as well as this belief test, it is like, well, what are they saying about Jesus? There's also a listening test. You know, who are these people who are speaking? Who are their main influences? Who are they listening to? Are they listening to God and to the apostles? That's who the us, I think, is in verse 6. We are from God, and whoever knows and listens to us, the original eyewitnesses of Jesus' death and resurrection, are they listening to them, or are they kind of just listening to the world? Like verse 5, they're speaking from the viewpoint of the world. They've kind of been soaked up by what the world's saying. You know, who are these people listening to? And then, who is listening to these people? Are people kind of just from the world who've really no interest in turning to God? Are they listening thinking, oh, this is great? Or actually, do people listen to those who are speaking and think, ah, I need to believe in this Jesus. I need to turn from the world to God. And to those who are of God, God's people, are they listening and thinking, this is good, this squares with what we're reading in the Bible? And guys, this is so important because the world is trying to tell the church all kinds of things that the church needs to tell the world. You know, the world is trying to tell the church, you know, gender doesn't matter. Sex outside of marriage doesn't matter. Marriage doesn't matter. Actually, Jesus is not the only way, you know. Actually, you can believe whatever you like, it doesn't matter. The world is trying to tell the church all kinds of things. So my question is, do we listen to the world and then tell the world back what it wants to hear? I think John would go, no! In fact, one bishop said recently of the Church of England, said that we got to watch out that we don't try so hard to be relevant to the culture that we become irrelevant because we've got nothing to say to the culture. Now, don't get me wrong. We have to try and keep working at how do we culturally in a relevant way present Christ. But here's the thing. The message about Jesus Christ is not going to be liked by everyone. In fact, Jesus says that those who stand for him and speak of him are actually going to have a hard time from the world. You know, don't be surprised when there are people who don't want to hear what you want to say because it's uncomfortable. Because it is uncomfortable. I've found just some of the people who can kind of spot lies that are in our culture, even in our church, is quite helpful. And you've got to be discerning as you read this stuff. But one guy I found quite helpful in a number of times when I've read stuff he's written or listened to stuff online is a guy called Francis Chan. I just want to show you a little short bit of this video where he just exposes two lies that I think actually even can be quite prevalent inside the church, not just outside. So here we go. This is just a short little bit. We might even only do 20 seconds of it, Mike. And then I want to come to an end. Here we go. Don't you want to listen to the rest? You can find it online. Just two lies he mentions. You're a good person. Everyone's a good person. But he says, you read the Bible. He says, actually, we all need forgiving. And actually, God is a God of love. That's what we read in 1 John. That's true. That's the Bible. But the lie then comes in that the loving God never punishes. Well, you're not reading the Bible. There's time and time again where the God of love punishes. That's why it matters what we believe so that we can get right with this God. Who are you listening to? Now, guys, I sometimes think about all this and the crazy amount of lies that there are in our world, and I think, okay, how are we going to be those that overcome? And I want to end with verse 4. Verse 4 is this amazing, wonderful verse. Verse 4 says this, you, dear children, are from God. I mean, John is now coming again with this huge encouragement to them. You, dear children, are from God, and you have overcome them. Them being all those who spout lies, them being the ways of the world, the people of the world, the ones who are kind of against Christ. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. There's one who is greater than the evil one. One who is greater than the false prophets. One who is greater than the Antichrist. One who is greater than the world. I remember when I was at college hearing someone say, one plus God is a majority. Isn't that a great phrase? One plus God is a majority. Who's the one that makes any situation become a situation where you can overcome because he is with you? It's God. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. His presence changes everything. And there's an amazing thing in verse 4. Do you notice the tense of overcome, you, dear children, are from God. And what's the tense? Past tense, isn't it? It's a bit like 1 John 2 verse 14 where he says again of these kind of young men or those who are less mature in their faith, he says, you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. It's a done thing. Why is it a done thing? Surely there are wrestles and battles that they're yet to have. Surely all these lies and stuff like that. But here's the thing. It's a done thing because they've put their trust in Jesus Christ. They've united themselves with him and he has overcome. Well, you might be thinking, but David, I believe in Jesus. How come I don't always feel like that? Even this week, even this morning, maybe you're thinking. How come I don't feel like I've overcome? That's a good question. And believe you me, Apostle John and me would love for you to know that you have overcome in Jesus Christ. So I'm just going to try and probe this just a little bit here as we end. Could it be that actually you've forgotten what you really believe and you've been listening to lies? You kind of have taken your eye off the truth. And so lies are kind of dominating. The lies that make out that it's all about how you're doing, whether you're good enough, whether people are impressed with you or not. Those are lies that are widespread. You know, am I good enough? You know? Whereas actually, look what 1 John 5 says. We're going to come to this in a couple of weeks, so I'm not going to take time, and I'm just going to read it. 1 John 5 verse 4. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. If you are taking your eyes off Jesus, or maybe you've never put your eyes fully on Jesus and said, I believe and trust in you, Jesus, completely, you're going to feel completely undone, not overcoming. But you know, whenever I put my eyes back on Jesus, that's why it's so good, isn't it, to come Sunday by Sunday or to gather in communities or just to meet up with brothers and sisters in Christ or to turn to God's word. It's so good because it puts my eyes back on Jesus. Whenever I do that, I remember I have overcome. I was remembering as I read this verse, one of my favorite verses. I think I probably all often say that, but this is one of my favorite verses. It's up on the screen here. Should we read it together? This is Jesus speaking. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Just let's keep that up there, Mike, just for a moment. Jesus is going to tell us some things that are true so that you and I, whatever you're going through, may know peace. He is our peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Okay? Whatever way we vote, there'll be trouble after it. Okay? So there's something actually more important than which way you vote. Important though that is, please engage with it, think about it, pray about it, and vote. What is more important? What is more important is aligning ourselves and saying yes and never leaving the one who has overcome, who has the victory, who is Lord. Take heart. Jesus Christ says, I have, past tense, overcome the world. He is our victory. And so this morning, you know, as we come to this glorious passage, I pray that we would be discerning. I pray that we would be those who put our trust in Jesus. I pray that we would be those who know that we have overcome, verse 4, and are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in us, the one who is in us, the Spirit of Jesus is greater than the one who's in the world. And so my longing again for us as a church is that we would be those who live lives of faith. That you would be one of those people who's not just I go to church, or I call myself a Christian, but I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that I believe that he has the victory, and our eyes and our hearts will be caught up with him. And if you've been kind of forgetting that, then this is the point to turn again. And maybe you're here and you've never really put your trust in Jesus. Never said yes to him and invited his spirit to come and fill your heart. That verse that Tim shared, may the God of hope fill us with joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, this morning, put your trust in him. Ask him to fill you. And may we be a people whose lives are overflowing with all he has for us.